Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Inside Syracuse Basketball with Mike Waters. Presented by Syracuse.com.
College basketball is a great thing. Anything can happen.
Welcome to the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast. I'm Mike Waters. Today on the podcast, I'm joined by Ryan Blackwell. Ryan played at Syracuse from 1997 to 2000. He's now the head coach at Liverpool High School. And this summer, he will be involved as a coach for Boeheim's Army for the fifth consecutive year. I talked with Ryan about the Boeheim's Army roster for this year's TBT, including the remarkable Eric Devendorf and some key additions from outside the Syracuse family. Ryan, how you doing?
Good, Mike. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm doing great. And listen, it's I'm so excited to have you on. You and I go way back.
Yeah.
Like your high school years in Rochester.
Man.
So it's been quite a while. And so I always enjoy talking to you. So it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks. Always good to be with you.
Before we get going on the basketball stuff, we have to acknowledge a great event in your life that just took place recently.
Yeah.
We just came past Father's Day too. And it was your very first ever Father's Day. Congratulations on your newborn.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Lowell's born yesterday, about a month ago yesterday, which is crazy. Time seems to fly already. And I just changed a diaper a couple of minutes ago before jumping on the podcast. So you know how that goes. You know, people talk about having kids and they tell you stories and you just don't realize and understand until you're into it. So, but I'm enjoying it, definitely.
Well, the only advice I can give you, it's not really advice, but it's the days will go by slow sometimes. Mm-hmm. They can be tough, but the years are going to go by so fast. So
yeah.
Enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. So I will.
All right. Well, if your brain isn't too foggy, let's get to basketball.
All right.
You sleep-deprived dad, you.
Yeah.
Another edition of Boeheim's Army is coming back to the basketball tournament. You're involved again. I think it's your fifth or sixth year in a row with the team. You know, why come back? Coming back this again, what do you like about Boeheim's Army and the basketball tournament that keeps bringing you back?
I just think it's a great tournament overall. It's a great product. It's a great chance for me, you know, obviously to get away from the high school scene and to coach other guys, professionals, which, you know, I did before when I was in Japan. And the talent level is just a different talent level. It's a chance to win money, which is always obviously an incentive. But it's just fun to get with these guys. You know, the Boeheim's Army is basically an extension of the Syracuse basketball family, because most of the guys, you know, even Kevin Belby, they were all graduates of Syracuse and we all played under Boeheim. And so it's kind of like a fraternity of guys getting back together and playing. And it's fun for me being in the community. They're so excited about it. In town when this comes around, and it's kind of an extension of the NCAA tournament because it's something, gives something people to do and to look forward to, and it's just a fun, exciting time.
Well, it really has been. It's amazing how this tournament has just taken off from its early stages mm-hmm. back when everybody was curious as to how anybody could run a tournament where you gave away $1 million to a winner.
Right.
And, you know, how is that being funded? And now it's on TV every year.
a couple years back when they had the games at Onondaga County Community College. The place was packed. Even Jim Boeheim and current players are showing up to cheer on, you know, the older guys. So I agree. Great event. And this team, that the names that have been announced, some familiar names, but a few to get excited about. We have to start with the old dog, though. I got to ask you, Eric Devendorf. He's coming back, and it's so amazing. Eric, he hasn't played actual ball, pro ball, in about 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
And every year he comes back, and he's one of your top players, a scorer. What exactly is it about Eric that allows him to lace them up every summer and be so good?
Man, it's tough. It's a testament to him. He's in better shape than most guys that are playing still, which is crazy. And he takes it serious. He called me this morning. He wanted me to come at 6 o'clock or seven o'clock this morning and work out with him. And I said, maybe if I'm not sleep deprived, you know, I said, I'm a zombie half the time. So I said, I'll meet you later in the afternoon, probably at the second session. But he takes care of himself. He's in the gym all the time. He works out, he shoots, he trains, you know, he takes care of his body, eats right. He's a vegan now, and he really takes care of himself. He's really changed his lifestyle, and it's crazy. Just he's been our best player and our engine and our heart every year that I've been a part of this Boeheim's Army. So he just has a knack for scoring. He's a tough, mentally tough competitor, and we just love having him.
You know, I saw some quotes from Eric just the other day in an article by my colleague Donna DeTota. And he was saying, yes, in the past years, he's felt like he needed to be the guy and wanted to be the scorer with the ball in his hands. But he seems like he wants that to change in a way. He wants to win so bad. He wants a better team around him. He wants guys who want that ball too. And he's willing to kind of give that away if that's what it takes to win. Did you see those quotes, and what did you think of those?
Well, we've had a lot of conversations, even, you know, the last couple of years. And he said, Ryan, he said, I can't. And I said to him, I said, you can't be our best player, a guy that hasn't played in 3 years. He's like, you can't be the guy who's the heart and soul and giving your all when you don't even play professionally anymore. And you're just, I mean, and we love him for that, but it's true. You have to have guys that step up. And I think this year, especially with the roster that we have and the additions, he shouldn't have to be that guy. But obviously there could be games where he's going to come out and have 15 to 20 and be that spark. Whether he starts or comes off the bench, he's going to be a spark for us because that's just what he does. And it's great to have that luxury with having him there.
Syracuse fans love this team. They love Boeheim's Army every year, and because they get to see these players that they cheer for when they were in college. So let's run through the other former Syracuse guys on the team besides Eric. You got Malachi Richardson, CJ Fair, Tyler Lydon, Pascal Chukwu, Andrew White, Chris McCullough. Okay. Where should we start with these guys? You want to start out at let's start with the wings, Malachi and Andrew.
Yeah, you know, they played last year, and Andrew's played the last 2 years. He played, you know, when he was here in Syracuse for the first time. And love Andrew, ultimate professional, comes in. And, you know, if he can hit shots for us, which he's done multiple games. Last year, he didn't have such a great tournament. But he's not going to have to do as much, you know, because we have so many guys on the roster. And then Malachi at the same time. I think he was a little disappointed in himself last summer because he didn't show, I don't think, what he's capable of showing.
I heard he was more than a little bit disappointed. I heard he was really not happy with the way he played.
Yeah, I would agree with him. I think we all know he can play better.
Right.
I think it was his first tournament. And maybe, I don't know if he was coming off injury or if he was in the greatest shape that he needed to be in, but so hopefully he's more in tune this summer and he's ready to go because he's talented. Obviously, he played in the NBA. And Andrew, you know, played with the Knicks organization and their G League. So those are two guys you definitely, if they can get it going in a tournament like this, you need guys to make shots. We're going to have that.
I think Malachi did break his right hand or right wrist playing in Italy.
Yep.
A season ago before last year's tournament. So, you know, it's understandable where, you know, he might have been shaking off some rust. going into the tournament. But I agree, he's an electrifying player.
Absolutely. I remember during practice last year, during the TBT, he was complaining about it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when he would shoot, and I know you had to ice it down. And I think he was just a little rusty because of that.
CJ.
Love CJ.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, when we coach, obviously he's watching him develop from a freshman to a senior year at Syracuse, how he got better and better and better and became that guy that you very dependable, mid-range, and just very humble, quiet, and just what about his business, like a blue-collar, workman-like type attitude. And when I coached him at Bayheim's Army several years ago and got to the Final Four, I really enjoyed coaching him. You know, he's just a fun kid to be around. You know, like I said, quiet, humble, and just, you know, listened and just was very respectful.
You know, a couple of athletic guys who can play multiple positions on the front line for you and also step out and shoot threes are Lydon and Chris McCullough. It's interesting, though. Tyler hasn't been playing ball in the last couple of years.
Yep.
Do you have any idea where he's at coming into this year's tournament?
It's a good question because obviously we wish we had him last year, didn't work out. And I know he tweaked his knee and I've seen some highlights of him on Instagram working out and playing one-on-one and going through drills and stuff like that. And he looks pretty good, but obviously it'll be a different story when we're playing 5-on-5 and he's out practicing with the guys. So it'd be interesting to see how he is, you know, if he's 100%, because like you said, he's a guy at 6'9", 6'10". They can stretch the floor, play the four, even the five. And in a tournament like this, you need guys like that, bigs that can stretch the floor and make shots. So that'd be big.
You know, Chris McCullough has been playing overseas for so many years now. And actually, was it 2 years ago when you guys thought you were going to have him on Bayheim's Army? And he wound up, I think, was it in the Philippines where he took his team to the championship and they wouldn't lose. You needed him to lose so he could come back and play for you guys. And I think he was tournament MVP over there. So he's obviously going to be good, right? And ready and primed to play.
I mean, I think he's young. He's so athletic. I think he's gotten better and better. Like you said, we wanted him to play with us 2 years ago, but we were happy that he won the tournament. And then last year, you know, with COVID, it was just kind of up in the air and a lot of things were going on in his life. I know, we would love to have had him, but we didn't. So this year, if he's playing and Tyler's playing, that just gives us a whole other dynamic on both ends of the floor because he's also a rim protector at 6'11". He's long. He can run the floor. I know his perimeter game has gotten better. He can knock down shots. So it'd be a great asset for us.
I know. I remember being amazed at the videos I was seeing from the Philippines when he was his team was on that run.
Yeah.
If he's playing like that for you this summer, you're going to be all right.
I think so.
Last former Syracuse player on the roster. This is an intriguing one, man. You got Pascal Chukwu.
Yep.
Now, he's not normally the type of guy you see in the basketball tournament. It's usually, you know, smaller centers or maybe even no center. And here you're getting a 7'2" guy.
So, yeah, when you bring – every once in a while on certain teams, you'll see a tall guy, a bigger guy. And I know I read some of the comments of some of the Syracuse fans, like, we need more size, we need centers. But like you said, in this tournament, the teams that have won Overseas Elite, I mean, they had – Justin Burrell, who's 6'9", maybe, you know, playing the five. The Marquette team and Jamil Wilson basically playing the five. And the Carmen's crew, you know, Jared Selinger maybe or some of the other guys, they go smaller. They go small ball. They just have guys that are tough-minded, physical. But Pascal at 7'2", 7'3", whatever he is, still brings a different element for us, especially if we're playing the zone, which he knows and understands. That'll be tough for teams. I think if we can play the zone the right way and having him in there in the middle, guys are going to have to think twice about, you know, getting in the paint, trying to make shots. He'll alter shots. And, you know, if he's active like he's been at Syracuse at times that we've seen, I think it'll be a plus for us.
And, of course, he's been playing, but, you know, he's Switzerland, right?
Right, in Switzerland. And I think he was in Greece, too. Did I read that right?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So – it'll be interesting to see how he's developed since he's, you know, left Syracuse. I always like to see how these guys have gotten better and better as they've gotten older.
Now, here comes the interesting part of your roster.
Yep.
Okay. In the past, you might have added a guy here and there who didn't play at Syracuse. So you had the kid from Colgate.
Yep. Will Raymond.
Raymond. And a few years back, it was Willie Dean.
Loved Willie. Yeah. From Purdue.
Great player for you.
Yeah.
This year, you've got a lot of outside flavor. Let's start first with a guard.
Okay.
Tyrese Rice, a former Boston College guy, and Syracuse fans may not really remember him because he played at BC at the time when BC left the Big East ahead of Syracuse. And so like around 2009 was his senior year while Syracuse was still in the Big East and BC was in the ACC. Mm-hmm. I think he was ACC Rookie of the Year or all rookie team. So he had a pretty good run at Boston College and he's been playing pro ball ever since. Ryan, I kind of like this addition.
I love it.
The kind of point guard you need.
I think so. I think, and that talking to Devon Belvin, those guys over the last couple of years, like I said, you need tough minded, physical guys who are just ready to get after it. And from what I've read, you know, I looked up some highlights. I watched some game film on him a little bit and talking to Devo and some other people about him, they said he'll be the perfect fit. He's got the EuroLeague tag. He's been doing great over there. He's a leader, and he's just willing to do the little things. He's a winner, and I think that's what we need. So that'll be a great addition for us, for sure.
Yeah, you know, I know some fans out there might get Europe, but some, it's kind of a mystery to them when guys are playing overseas. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Rice has been playing on good teams and good leagues.
Right.
You mentioned the EuroLeague, and you know, he's been playing on teams in Greece, Spain. I think he played on one of the better teams in Russia.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, you're getting a guy who's been playing at a pretty high level. In recent years.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys that don't understand what it takes to play in Europe. You think Europe, you think if you're not in the NBA, you're not good. But these teams, and if you're playing on these teams, like you said, the high level EuroLeague teams, you're really good. And I think his talent level and his resume speaks for itself.
No, I got to be honest. I don't know much about Kiefer Sykes.
Same.
I looked him up. He played his college ball at Wisconsin Green Bay. Mm-hmm. I had a better college career than I remembered.
Yeah.
Honorable mention, All-American as a senior.
Yeah.
But he too is, he's playing in Italy, China, Korea. You were in Japan for several years. You know some of those leagues over in Asia.
Yep.
But tell me a little bit about Kiefer.
Yeah, again, this was a new addition that Belby, he found him somehow. Belby's, you know, working his magic again. And they sent me the video and I watched it. And I watched some of his highlights from Australia. And he's a Chicago kid. So, you know, he's going to be tough-minded. And he's just another element, a quick guard that can make plays, get in the paint. Kind of like a John Gillen. Can shoot and just a tough kid, another tough kid. I think both ends of the floor defensively, especially he's going to get after it, which we're going to need.
Before we got going here, we talked about a couple of these other guys. and I had to make sure as we record this, that we're going to be okay to publish it. And you seemed almost like not quite giddy, but very, very excited about a couple guys that you're bringing in. And if Syracuse fans have been watching this tournament over the years, they're going to know these names.
Yeah.
DJ Kennedy and DeAndre Kane.
Yes.
Two guys in past that have played for overseas elite, which has basically been, you know, the New York Yankees of the TBT over the years. And these two guys are two of the overseas elite's best players. How did you get these two?
When I heard that they were going to be a part of the Bahamas Army, because I was waiting to see what they were going to do overseas elite. You know, they hadn't announced if they're going to have a team or not. And when I talked to Belby a couple of weeks ago, he was like, do you have any ideas about players? What do you think? I said, have you looked at DJ Kennedy and DeAndre Kane? Because in the past couple of years, when we lost them in the Final Four and just watching them, and I've said all along, I said, we need some guys like that. Just tough, blue collar. They're perfect for the tournament. They know how to win. They're going to do the little things. They're going to play defense. They're going to rebound. They're going to hustle. And you need guys like that in this tournament. I mean, and on any team, basketball team, to win. And, you know, I was so excited when I heard that they were available and that they decided to commit to us. It's unbelievable.
Now, for the fans who don't quite remember, DJ Kennedy played at St. John's and was an outstanding player there.
Yeah.
And he's had just a remarkable pro career overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And DeAndre Kane is a former Iowa State guy. And
yeah,
I remember when he was at Iowa State, he was really good.
Really good.
How do you incorporate those guys into the Boeheim's Army, you know, locker room, as it were? You know, a bunch of guys who all share a common bond, you know, whether they played together or not at SU. CJ has a bond with Malachi. You know, Tyler Lydon has a bond with Eric Devendorf because of being from Syracuse. So how do you incorporate guys like Tyrese Rice, DeAndre Kane, DJ Kennedy into this alumni club?
At the end of the day, these guys are professionals, and it's about winning. And I think if you just put the four banners up in front of these guys and say, this is what these guys did. You know, DeAndre Kane and DJ Kennedy won four in a row with Overseas Elite. They know how to get it done in this tournament. They know how to win. And we're here for all the same reason. We're on the same page, whether you play 5 minutes or you play 20 minutes. It's not about your points. It's not about your resume. It's about winning and winning the money. And these guys know how to get it done. So I think if they can all approach it that way, just the professional attitude and selfless attitude, I think we'll be okay.
Adding Kane and DJ Kennedy to your roster, and you're already a well-known team because you've been a basketball tournament staple for the last 6 years now. And, you know, and Boeheim's Army gets a lot of, you know, attention in the summers. But adding Kane and Kennedy now to this group, do you enter this year's tournament with a bullseye on your back, even though you've only been to the Final Four in it once?
100%. I think 100%. I think, like you said, Boeheim's Army has a name, has a following. The Syracuse basketball family, Boeheim's name on the jersey. You know, we've had a lot of success, even though we've only been to one Final Four. We've won a lot of games and been in a lot of close games. So just adding those two guys with their resume and what people know about them, you know, if you follow the tournament, there's definitely going to be a bullseye. People are going to be looking at us saying, if these guys don't win it this year, you know, then I don't know. I don't know. So we'll see. Like you said, if people can just buy in with this group, because 11 guys is a lot. That's a lot on a roster in a tournament like this.
Yeah.
And so many minutes. And now with the Elam ending, you know, the game is really cut short. So guys are going to really just have to buy in and just do them, just play their role. And that's it.
I'm old school, Ryan. I'll admit.
Yeah.
You brought up the Elam ending.
Yeah.
I love it for the basketball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. I wouldn't mind it in AAU summer leagues.
Yeah.
Like that to keep you on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever been, yeah, I know you have been, you've been to summer league stuff and you're like, you absolutely hate it when a game goes overtime.
Yes.
Or goes long. What do you think of the Elam ending? Is it something that NBA or college would ever consider? Would you be a proponent of that?
No, I like it for the tournament. It's grown on me for this tournament. It definitely speeds the game up. But on the other end, if we had the Elam ending a couple years ago when we had that 25-point comeback, you know, that wouldn't have happened. So that takes that element out of teams being able to come back. Maybe you're 20 down. You know, that takes it out. I was watching the Brooklyn Nets game the other day, and they were down 20. And I was actually watching with Alan Griffin. He goes, they're going to come back and win. I said, maybe. This is NBA basketball, so you just never know. And they did. They came back. They were 20 down, and they came back and won the game. Same with Philly being up 20 and losing to Atlanta last night. So that takes that element of teams, you know, when you say fight till the last minute until the buzzer sounds. So that takes that element out of basketball. But for the Elam ending, for the tournament, exactly, specifically, I enjoy it. I think it's brought a different feel to it. And I think the fans have kind of, it's grown on them a lot with the target score. So I enjoy it. But for high school basketball or college or the NBA going forward, I wouldn't like it.
Yeah. you know, you would lose Pearl Washington's half-court shot.
Yes.
You'd lose Jerry McNamara's running three against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
We never would have gotten the Boeheim rant after that game about not 10 effing games.
Yeah.
Where would we all be without that, right, Ryan?
Right.
We wouldn't get overtime games.
We wouldn't get overtime.
Todd Wallace to Jason Cipolla to force overtime against Georgia in 96.
Six but overtime games.
Shot in that overtime.
Six overtime game in the Garden versus UConn. I mean, you know,
greatest game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Greatest game I've ever seen. And it would have what? Ended. It wouldn't even have ended on Diefendorf's miss. There would have been a target score. He would have kept playing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it takes that element out of basketball. Would have been.
Okay. All right. So we agree on that.
Yes.
You're going to begin play this year on July 24th in Peoria.
Mm-hmm.
You spent some time in Illinois.
A lot of time. You know a lot about Peoria basketball growing up.
That's Bradley University, right?
Bradley University, yeah. But a lot of Illinois players have come from there. McLean's, the history of, you know, McLean's and Frank, who is it? A couple guys that went to Illinois, but just the history of Illinois basketball is great. Just growing up there and being from Chicago and then Champaign, it's all kind of in the same area and circle. So I'm excited to get back there.
Is there anybody that you were hoping to get on this year's team that couldn't for whatever reason that you're kind of like, man, that'd be nice?
You know, it's so funny with the Syracuse fans when you see comments and we post stuff and they're like, please bring Deion Waiters or please bring Carmelo Anthony or Wes Johnson or bring all these guys. And like, that'd be great. But like having Deion Waiters, first of all, Deion Waiters doesn't want to play in the TBT. Not right now at this stage of his career. He's still young. Carmelo Anthony's not going to come from playing the, you know, 15 years in the NBA making millions of dollars to come on a TBT roster. It's just not going to happen. I know Joe Johnson did it last year with Overseas Elite, which was great for fans to see. And it was fun for the tournament. But overall, I like our roster. I like what we have. There's not really anybody else that I could say, you know, Wes Johnson, Rakeem Christmas, I've always respected. He would have been a great addition. Wes Johnson, I enjoyed coaching Mike Benajay when he was here a couple years ago, but I like what we have right now. I think I've always said we got to go outside the Warren family a little bit to get guys to really, if we're going to have a chance to win this tournament.
Of all those guys you mentioned, maybe Benajay would have been a most realistic addition to the team, but this summer he's going to be busy. I think he's with the Nigerian national
Nigerian team,
trying
yeah.
to qualify for the Olympics.
Right.
So, you know, we'll allow him that.
Yeah.
We'll yeah, he wants that. To take a shot at the Olympic Games. That's okay.
Yeah.
The silent G can wait another year.
Yep.
How excited are you to get into this year's tournament after last year's experience in the bubble? Because the TBT last year was one of the first events that went ahead and played and found a way to make it work in COVID. And you know, kudos to the folks that run the TBT. It was an amazing success story, but I'm sure it wasn't the most pleasurable experience you guys have ever had.
It wasn't. It was totally different. Obviously, you know, everyone has different stories and experiences dealing during a pandemic of what they went through, but basketball specifically, we were just happy to be back doing something. And at the time there's really nothing else on TV and, you know, being kind of like the guinea pigs for how something could run during a pandemic. I know the NBA was watching, and like I said, the TBT did a great job of putting everything together and following protocols and just having to be in a hotel basically 24/7 was different. You know, John Gillen got stuck in his room for 2 days straight because something happened with his test. And of course, John Gillen messed it up. And he was literally had to stay in his room for 2 days straight and couldn't come to practice. So we had to basically enjoy each other's company in the we'd go downstairs in one of the rooms and play cards. The guys would play video games and tell old stories, and it was a great bonding experience for all of us and great to just be around those guys and tell different stories of their careers and their journeys with basketball. So on that level it was fun, but to just be in a hotel 24/7 and just be able to go outside just to go play your game and come back was a totally different experience. And I'm glad that the fans are back, and we're going to be able to do things on a more normal level this year, for sure.
Well, it's been great to have you involved with the Boeheim's Army. I'm glad you're involved again. It's great, you know, for the Syracuse fans, I can't imagine anybody's not aware, but maybe they are, especially if they don't live in the area. It's been great having you back in Central New York for the past several years, coaching Liverpool High School. You've won a state title already in your young career. And now you add the title of dad.
Yeah, I'm a man of many hats at this moment, but dad is the toughest one. It's the toughest one so far, but I'm enjoying that journey. And it's so fun being back in Syracuse and in the community. And I appreciate all the love and support that we get. You know, people even come out and watch my games at Liverpool, our games at Liverpool, just because they know that I've coached or played at Syracuse. So having that connection and having that love and support in this community from all the fans and friends is just second to none.
Well, appreciate you being on the podcast. We're going to have to get you back on again because we were kind of focused on Boeheim's Army and the TBT this time. There's so many other topics I'd love to pick your brain about, including like transfers and the portal and immediate
eligibility.
Because, you know, as we know, you transferred here from Illinois, you know, NIL and paying players. So let's agree here before I let you go. We're going to get you back on again soon.
100%. I would love it.
All right, I'm going to hold you to it. We got you on tape.
All right, Mike.
Okay. All right, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I want to thank Ryan for joining me on the podcast today. And thanks to you out there as well for listening in. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and follow all of our complete coverage of Syracuse basketball on Syracuse.com. Until next time on the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, I'm Mike Waters.